Hello and welcome to our Inner Healer Gathering. For timestamp, today is May 21st, our Wednesday 7 p.m. gathering. And it's so nice to have you all here, including I have lasagna under the table and I have Bella off to the side. It's so funny how like they are gathering also, because that is the nature of the energies. But as I was saying before we started the recording, I mean, I'm not complaining about the weather here at all. I guess I'm acclimating to the heat and to the mosquitoes. Although I have to say, I'm pretty lucky because I have to keep reminding myself I'm on the coast. I still don't have my bearings. I don't know which way is north, east, west, and south. I have to take my phone compass and be like, okay, I'm pointing this way. So this is where the Gulf would be. This is where back north would be. This is further south. Because I have no idea. It's like all new territory, But the one good thing is that every day I take Mr. Lasagna for a ride. And so we have like covered all the territory in the development in the surrounding areas. People are probably used to seeing my car driving by with him now because I have a tendency to circle the same areas. It just makes it easier. When I get a good long street that I don't have to make a whole bunch of turns on, so I don't have to go slower than 30 miles an hour. He loves it more. And he's got his head out the window, his gums are flapping, his ears are going, and he's just in his glory. And then heaven forbid we meet up with a turtle who's trying to cross the middle of the road. He goes absolutely ballistic. He's like, my friend, I want to see him, I want to see him. And then it's like, I'm like, go turtle, go, hurry up, go, so we could get out of here because, he's like, he wants to literally get out of the car and go see the turtle. It's really kind of funny. So I've been doing a lot of that and touring the neighborhood. So I really kind of have a good feel for, what's over here and everything. So. And that's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to get to see where everything is in the surrounding areas and what other houses look like. One thing I will tell you is that a lot of these houses have been here for a very long time, old community, but there's a lot of areas here where they probably put up houses, maybe, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, in the late 90s or whatever, and they never paved the roads. The roads are dirt roads. And so it makes it interesting driving around when, you kind of like you're coming down the road and you see a sign that says, please slow to 15 miles an hour, dusty road ahead, and it's literally a dusty road, and all of the roads intersecting with it are dusty because they never paved it. Because I guess there wasn't enough homes there. The town didn't want to spend the money. I don't know what it was, but lots of rural everything here. That's one thing that there is plenty of, is you will not be for a lack of anything interesting here. It's not just about the alligators. As I pointed out in my newsletter, if you had a chance to read it, I have already encountered several different types of critters here. A scorpion in my bathroom, which was interesting because without my glasses on, I was looking at it thinking, that looks like a piece of thread. And in my head is going, it's a scorpion. And I'm like, that can't be a scorpion. That looks like a piece of thread. And then the head goes, it is a scorpion. Don't touch it. Go get your glasses. Remember, Joe had one on his bedroom wall, and then there was one in the couch. Oh, right. Okay. And then I go get my glasses, and I'm like, oh, it's a scorpion. So that was exciting. And then I came across a huge outside this palmetto bug that was like literally the size of a half of a baseball. It was huge. And I left it that because it was right over my door. It was like a marker, for a palmetto bug energy, which means that resilient to everything, right? Being resilient in all ways, shapes, and forms. And the scorpion is about being alert, watching what's coming at you, which is why their tail is over their head, so that if something is coming at them they don't like, they could just sting it, so it's about being alert, it's about being intuitive, it's a lot of different things. And then the most interesting thing that we encountered was the other night, 2 nights ago, 3 nights, I think Bella's a little traumatized, to be honest with you. Because even in New York, I never saw any kind of snake, not even the garden variety snake. But the window on this house is probably 6 feet long, the bay window, probably a good 6 feet long. I haven't measured it, but I'm thinking it's probably 3 feet each window, right? And so it was late. I let her out, like sometimes she wants to go out at like 9 o'clock and she'll come back in at 9:30. And so I think it was like 2 or 3 nights ago. I let her out, and then I turned the lights out in here so that I could see her. I pulled the blind up about that much on the bottom so I could see when she comes back to the window, and then I know to bring her in. I don't like her going out at night because there's a lot of nighttime creatures out there, but I try to hold the highest timeline and go like, she is safe. There is nothing in this reality that's going to harm her because it is my reality creating this reality. So she is safe. There's no coyote out there. There's no big hawk out there. There's no eagle. There's no big owl, right? Because those are the things that could swoop down and like literally pick her up and take her away. So, I'm putting that out there. There's no none of these things. And so I look out the first time she's laying across the driveway. And I'm like, okay, give her another 10, 15 minutes. I go back and I check the window and I see her now. She's sitting across from me on a brick from this retaining wall that, goes around the garden. And I see her sitting there and she's looking very intently, like looking very intently into the garden area. And I try to look down to see what she's looking at. I don't see anything. And I'm like, what the heck is she looking at? So I go outside. Now I have the porch light on, and but it's only so good, right? And I look out and I'm like, Bella. And I call her and she's not moving. And I'm like, Bella, not moving. So I'm like, what the heck is she look? I lean out, look down, don't see anything. Come back in the house, grab the flashlight, which I put out a couple of days ago. Intuitively, must have known. So I didn't have to search through the garage. It was on the counter right where I left it. Don't know why I even did that, but go back outside with the flashlight and look at her. She's still sitting there looking intently. I turn the flashlight on and I look, and it's a snake. Yeah. Snake is right up on the edge of the house, right where the house comes to that like an L where it hits the ground, and that snake is crawling along the edge of the house. And when I looked at it, I was like, it's got to be like a garden variety snake. Had a small head on it, very big body. I'm gonna say it was a good 3.5, probably 4 feet, but definitely 3 feet. And she was just sitting there like, what the heck is that? Because we never saw that in New York. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, and it's coming this way. It's coming towards the door. And I thought to myself, well, I could stand here and oogle it a little more. And then it crosses the boundary between me and the door. And I might not be going back in the door. Or I could do the logical thing and grab her under one arm and run into the house with her, which is what I did. And then I looked up the snake. I'm pretty confident it's non-poisonous. That the head on it made me think that. And what more importantly made me think that is that it probably saw her sitting on the stone and it wasn't interested in her. It wasn't like it stopped and it saw her and now she's looking at it, it's looking at her. It wasn't doing that. It was just minding its own business, going along. And it wasn't in the dirt all the way. Its head was up as it was traveling through the garden. So I grabbed her, came into the house, and I thought, well, that was very interesting. So the next morning, I got up, and as I always do, I make my coffee, and I said to every, hey, you guys want to go outside? And they were like, yeah. Lasagna runs out the door, and she comes to the door, and she's sitting at the door, and she leans out, and she looks at the door, looks both ways, and then she leans back, and she looks at me. I was like, it's okay, because there's nothing in the garden right now. And then she bounces out the door. Like, I've never seen her do that before. And I realized she's now got an idea that there's other types of creatures here that she's never encountered or experienced before. And I think that that kind of put this new idea into her head because, as I'm sure Debbie will tell you, that there are lizards here all over the place. Right, like of all kinds of varieties. And all you have to do is Google Florida lizards, and there's like 50 different types of the small lizards. And I see them around the house. Some of them are lime green, some of them are brown, some of them are brown with dots on the back, some are dashes on the back, some are lines on the back. There's like 50 different varieties of those kinds of lizards, right? So you encounter them all the time, and there's a couple near the pole barn that she plays with on occasion, that she chases them. And so she's seen a lot of those. So, and I thought, it's very profound messages that I'm receiving, because snakes are about shedding skin and going through a rebirth and everything. There's a lot of big, insightful messages. Even the palmetto bug was, was a big message. And it's just like, I, in that moment of seeing the snake and having the awareness the next morning when I woke up, it's like everything is showing up now. It's almost like everything in the reality is talking to me. And that's what it feels like. It feels like I can literally have conversations with everything, so it's been very interesting. And enlightening is a good word too, right? Sue says, I'm formulating in my new place, and it's taking a while because I'm taking my time remembering where I've put everything. Yeah, it's like we have to get used to an environment all over again, right? And as much as I might like to think I'm used to being here, after being here for a couple of months, everything is showing me don't get too comfortable, because there's still stuff that you're going to encounter that you're, that's going to be new. Liz said, I had a possum in front of my car last night, taking its time to cross the street. It was huge. Yeah, we have huge possums here too. One got disturbed while Loretta was here, and it was standing in the yard looking like it was all confused, didn't know where it was going. They were doing some excavating across the way and probably woke its nest up or something. We have all kind, we have raccoons, we have possum. There's a large old turtle that lives here in the woods, and he walks through the yard very quickly. So the old story of the tortoise and the hare is a lie, because he's fast. He's pretty darn fast. He moves at a good clip. So it's just a message to not get too comfortable. Like, change is the name of the game, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, because all of the energies that are at play are very, very significant, because they're outer planetary energies affecting the whole, affecting the collective. And so, this is where the energies are literally saying to us, don't get too comfortable, because, change can happen at any minute. And don't get so comfortable that you're not paying attention. where you turn your back for a second and allow something to fall through the cracks, or allow something to literally bite you in the ass, right? So, yeah. So if you think about all of that, and then, everything that I've experienced the last couple of days, that's literally the message. And this morning, there was a centipede that was probably the thickness of my pinky, and it was probably this long, coming out from the garden from the brick area. Bella saw it first and jumped back, and it was just like snaking its way through the grass and everything. This is a planet full of bugs and critters and animals and beings, and they were here first before we even got here, so we're living in their environment, and we need to share that with them and not be afraid of them. One thing I haven't seen here, I don't have here that I know of yet, is alligators, because I'm not in a waterway. So unless I go to a waterway that has that, probably not going to experience that. So these are really big energies, and we are going to be experiencing lots and lots of change over the next couple of years. Change is going to be the name of the game. So if you are not somebody who likes change, start to do the self-talk to get yourself comfortable with change, because change is going to happen. And one thing I'm going to just say, and this is a generalized statement, is I see many out there, right? I see many out there who think they're present, who think they're tuned in, who think that they're paying attention, who believe themselves to be on their spiritual path, the higher spiritual path. And things keep coming up that are presenting huge challenges, that are making them ask questions like, why is this always happening? Why is this happening? I thought I had this under my belt. And it's because there's still not enough focused intention to presence. Okay. There's still not enough focused intention to presence. When we are letting ourselves be distracted by things in our lives, by people, by places, by things, right? Including work, family. I would venture to even say something like the snake. If I got really in my head about that, and I sat and I, let myself panic about it, or ruminate in thoughts about it, that would be a distraction, right? But I don't do that because I have enough work under my belt, and primarily from teaching this, because that's how you really anchor in. You really anchor in through teaching, right? And then those of you that really have gotten that higher level where you're creating transformation in your reality, right? And some of you are doing that. I'm going to mention some of that tonight. That takes focus. That takes presence. That takes continuous self-talk, redirecting yourself away from the thoughts that are not serving a purpose in your life, that are not supporting who you are, where you want to go. Okay. It takes a lot of effort. And I'm just going to say this, and this is going to probably not be received by some people, right? If I was talking to the masses out in the collective, I know a lot of people would have already turned the dial or turned the channel, right? But if you're involving any form of substance in your life, be it, alcohol or pot or anything like that, right? Any medicinals or anything like that. I know in the spiritual community, there's a big thing where that's okay. It's accepted. It gets you to that next higher place. But from my perspective, this is just, I can only speak from my personal journey, it doesn't. Every time you indulge, you lower your vibration. That's just how it works, right? That's not my philosophy. It is how it works. And it's specifically set up on the earth plane for us to have that happen so that it would keep giving us a reset. We'd have to keep resetting ourselves over and over and over again. Now, I'm not talking to those who are, having a drink here, there, one drink on the weekend or whatever. I'm talking about people that are, indulging on a regular basis, right? It lowers the vibration. It lowers your frequency. When your frequency is low, you're too busy working on bringing your frequency back up, getting it back in the right place. And you can't be focused on managing your thoughts. You can't be focused on managing the ego mind that wants to create chaos and havoc. You can't. It's not possible. Okay. So it's really, 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 really critical now. It's critical now because we have huge shifts happening. We have big player energy happening where we have the outer planets, all the outer planets are changing signs. We've never experienced this before. There is no how-to manual. Most of the time people think, astrologers are amazing. They're so on point every time there's a shift, this and that. Yes, they can be amazing because they are looking at cycles, right? They're looking at cycles. Oh, this went into blah, blah, blah back in 2013, and it was there until 2014, and this happened, and this was the effect that it had on humanity back in that time. Yeah, so we have a record of it. Technically, we have a record of it from back then, right? But we're having shifts now, like we have Saturn going into Aries for the first time since 1976. Okay. And it's going to be there until April 2028. Okay. Now it's going to do a dance back and forth because of course it doesn't go into a sign and just stay in a sign. It does a retrograde, then it does this and it comes back. And so it's going to be 10 steps forward, 2 steps back, 20 steps forward, 15 steps back, asking us to constantly adjust things in our life, right? But we're having these big shifts, and we're having shifts like Neptune going into Aries. And, this is something that hasn't happened in 186 years. There's no playbook for that. There is a playbook for Saturn in Aries going back to 1976. We can look back then and see what was taking place in our lives or in the collective experience on the earth and see how Saturn might be affecting Aries, what it's going to ask us to do, what the astrologers will look at the presidency, it'll look at the government, it'll look at the economy, it'll look at all of that stuff, right? And that's how they can come to predict roughly what might be taking place now. But when you have these big shifts that there is no playbook for, and you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know how it's going to impact humanity, it's going to impact us on a personal level. It's exciting and it's unnerving to see that, right? Because we don't really have anything to go by. We're just kind of going to fly by the seat of our pants. So if we're not doing diligence to what we are experiencing in our lives and calling our attention back whenever our attention starts to go astray, we're not gonna figure this out. We're not gonna be in the placement that we want to be, right? We're not going to give ourselves the time to excel or to ascend the consciousness, right? And that's important to do. The last 3 days, I was going through some kind of shift. I mean, think about it. Like, I'm seeing all these things I've never seen in my life before, not even in a zoo, right? Like a scorpion. When would I get to see that? Right? That triggered and activated something. And then I see this ginormous palmetto bug. I've like, really? And then a snake right here on the property in the garden. And it has to activate something. It has to trigger something. There's something taking place right there, right? And I said, let me use all of this. Thank you to all of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing through the information you're bringing through. Thank you for bringing me everything that you brought me, just like when Sonny the chicken passed away, right? I used that energy, that emotional content to do a little healing work, to go deeper, to reparent myself and take myself into my childhood. That's where it triggered me. That's where it was taking me, right? And allowed myself to go through that process. And just recently, I did that again as I was feeling very frustrated with myself for, I'm 24/7 thinking about doing art, 24/7 thinking about doing art. And instead of actually doing art, I'm online looking at paint and looking at paintbrushes and looking at, mediums and looking at canvas and looking at all of this other stuff. And one day I just stopped. I stopped myself and I was like, okay, we're just going to take a time out here and figure this out because there's something happening here and I need to figure out what this is because why am I doing this? And I gave myself the time. I separated myself out and I was like, okay, let's figure this out. And what came up was that the fear of actually doing the art because of the stuff that took place in my childhood with art, whether it was what my teacher said about, me not being able to draw a face properly or my artwork getting stolen. And, my first thought is I'm not meant to go to art school, right? And then playing on that really can, created more fear and put that fear out first. And that was the catalyst through which I was operating when it came to art. And the minute I had that awareness and said, I'm just looking for art materials and paint and everything as a means to self-soothe, because I haven't figured out yet that all I need to really do is do the art and let myself be good at it instead of judging myself before I even do it. Right? So, what are you doing? What are you not doing? What are you doing that you should really not be doing or don't need to be doing that you could be doing something else, but you're not doing it because you have a fear? And that fear is holding you back from living your fullness or bringing you joy. Right? So, this is what is taking place right now. It's requiring us to look at everything that's in our reality and see where we are not living in our fullness. Okay. And when we do that from the deepest place within, we liberate that part of ourselves that we have been repressing. And suddenly the universe, because it wants to, shows up for us. Okay. And then, like today, I'm trying to think of what the timing was on it. Maybe today is Wednesday, maybe Saturday. I had decided I was going to order two gravity chairs, not expensive. It was from Amazon, two chairs for like $85. Nice made chairs, but not like they're not special. They're not, super duper made. They're not luxury chairs. They're just chairs for outside under the pole barn. I wanted to replace one that's literally falling apart. So I thought I'd get two chairs. And then if I have any kind of company, we have a comfortable place to sit. The rocking chairs are nice, but they get hard on your back after a little bit. So I thought I'd do this. And the because it's shipping from a and out of company, and they're using I don't know, UPS to ship it or something like that. There was an extra $9 charge, but they gave me a $20 discount. So it all worked out, and it came out to $85 or something like that for the two chairs, which I was very happy to pay. And so the message that came through for the chair said that the chair should ship in 2 to 3 weeks, right? Which means I'm not going to get them for a month. And so I was like, okay, that's not a problem. Like I'm not going to be mad at that because these chairs were only, $85, and I'm not going to be mad at that. It's okay. And so today I was in a placement where I usually am, and I was feeling my joy. And as I was taking lasagna and Bella out the front door with my morning coffee, I had this feeling that said, I really would love for those chairs to be here already, for them to be here today so I could just enjoy them, because I really don't want to sit in that rocking chair again. But if I have to, whatever. And I was just like, yeah, it's going to be so nice when they get here. And I opened the door, and there is this huge box on the doorstep. And I look at it, and it has my name on it. And it's from the Gravity Chair Company. Not only did they come in a week, but they came in less than a week, and definitely less than the 2 to 3 week window that they were saying they were going to come in. But we can't have this experience because I let them go. I let the chairs go. It didn't matter to me. I wasn't going to be mad at it. I wasn't going to be focused on, I haven't even thought of it. I hadn't even thought of it until I was walking out the door. And like intuitively now I'm looking at it going like, yeah, because I knew they were sitting outside the door, right? That's the only reason I even thought about them. And I thought, how cool was that, that they actually showed up for me on my terms, because I wasn't fixed to any negativity concerning them or concerning when they were going to get here, right? So I didn't put anything into the field that was going to add resistance, that was going to delay them getting here. And I just allowed for all of it to be whatever it was going to be, and felt it with the greatest amount of joy. That is how we need to operate. That's how we need to express ourselves in this reality now going forward, because this is the nature of what the field is giving us. It's allowing us to have these moments where we're in pure creation. Pure cre You could have knocked me over with a feather when I opened the door and saw the box. I was like, wait a second. Wait a second. Are these my chairs? Are you kidding me? So I enjoyed one of the gravity chairs today. It was delightful, and I was very pleased to be able to sit in it, I must say. So, Tamara. Tamara, you had your hand up?
Yeah. I
Uh-huh.
was trying to unmute because I'm driving.
Okay.
So that's what came up to me. Like, why aren't I manifesting anything with vitamins? And then I just got the feeling that there's something in my subconscious that there's not certainty. There's some kind of fear.
Yep.
And also, I have like too many distractions.
Yep. Yeah. That's why we're talking about this, because
Yeah.
I'm noticing this. Right? Because I get all kinds of messages from people in distress. And it's simply because you have too many distractions in your field. It's simply
Right.
because you're giving focused attention to things that are completely unimportant. Unimportant, right? In my world, I didn't get bit by the snake. I didn't get stung by the scorpion. I didn't have any, the palmetto bug didn't fall on my head, right? Today I had an encounter with some kind of buzzing thing that when I opened the door, oh, hello, Bella. When I opened the door, it wanted to fly into the house, and I was like, absolutely not, out. And I didn't realize I was using, the command tone with it, and it literally came into the doorway and it flew back out of the doorway. It was like my field repelled it because I was not having it, right? It was not something that I wanted to co-create with. Okay. So, I think when we remember that we're the creator of it all, when we remember that we're in charge 24/7, but it's how we're in charge. How are we being in charge in this moment? Are we being in charge from a higher place within us, or are we being in charge in under the influence of everything in our reality and everything in our field? Okay, so when we're letting a family member get to us, or we're letting a boss or a coworker or a sibling or a child or a pet or anything like that, any outer distraction, the snake, the scorpion, we're not going to be on our soul path. We'll definitely be completely offline. And then we have to look at that and realize that somewhere in our process, we've allowed ourselves to wander off, right? We're not in control or in charge of the journey that we're on. We're allowing something else to distract us. But it's only through conscious awareness can we interact and play that role, right? And then get ourselves back on track. So it's important to have this information to understand this. And the reason that we're starting with this is because of the nature of how powerful this is. When we get our thoughts under control and we're not subjecting ourselves to, the sidebar conversations of our coworkers or, our siblings or our spouse or anything else, right? Because everything could be a distraction. And we start to get that under control, then we can give back the attention to the reality and start to create the reality that we're truly desiring to experience and participate in. That's the only way to do it. And to be honest with you, those of you who are having the sessions, who are doing the work, consistently having sessions until you get it, and then you don't need the sessions anymore because then you've trained yourself to get it. That's how it works, right? You're seeing the work work. You're seeing the mountains get moved. It's not me doing the work, it's you doing the work. So, but until that moment, and I can tell you that the work works when, and it's painful sometimes, right? Because we have to take a look at things that we're doing that we are doing unconsciously, that we're doing subconsciously. And then we have to stop doing them. And so that can hold a lot of resistance. And it makes us not want to come and do a session because then we're like, well, that was uncomfortable and I don't like the way I felt, or I don't like the way I feel, or I don't think I can do this. It's too much hard work. It takes too much efforting. It's this, it's that. We can make a lot of excuses, right? But that's really just the ego in fear of what we really need to do. So we have to look at it from that perspective too, because once you do the sessions and you do the work, whether you do it with me or somebody else, it's life becomes easy and it becomes joyful, and shift is like not a problem, right? Lisa?
Yes, yeah, issue I'm running into because I'm realizing now that I probably should have waited another year before I made the move because I kind of put myself in a bit of a financial spot. So now I'm like anxious running around trying to find a second job to afford everything. So.
Okay. Or you could stop feeling that way and you could just create the shift that you need and bring the job in that you need. The more you give energy to what is unwanted, right? This feeling of anxiousness, this feeling of lack, this feeling of I made a mistake. I wasn't thinking, I shouldn't have done this. You're creating in that energy. Now, if you're creating in that energy, what are you going to get more of?
Lack.
You're going to get more of that, right? So, from this moment right now, you have to commit yourself to new thoughts, new ways of seeing things, and say, well, obviously, this is happening for a reason. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe it's trying to stretch you out of your comfort zone because you wrap yourself in the blanket, you hunker down, and you're like, okay, this is comfortable for me. I'm just going to stay right here. Don't need to stretch myself with any because I know exactly what I have right now. So I'm just going to stay here. And even though this is not what I truly love or truly desire, it's what I know and it's comfortable. And the universe is saying to you, hey, Lisa, we gave you all the signs that it was time to move, didn't we? Did we? Yes or
I'm
no?
not sure because I let my family and everything distract me. So I was, that's why I said, put that little comment when you made that
Okay.
about.
But it sounds like you had all the signs that it was time to move. Okay. And you felt going back to North Carolina, you felt the energy there was better. A lot of things coming into play for that. Okay.
Yeah, I
So,
guess I'm wondering if it was more ego-based though, because like I'm thinking, oh, it's better services for Scott, because I don't feel like I'm home here now that I'm back here.
you felt like you were home in South Carolina?
More than here, yeah. But I think
Okay.
I always have an issue balancing what I want and my kids want. And like Scott got upset one day because he's like, I'm getting moved everywhere and I don't have a say.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm trying to get to, right? Saturn is creating all of this. Okay. The last time we had Saturn and Aries joining Neptune and Aries was like 12,000 years ago. Right? Nobody knows what the energies are at play, right? And if we look at Saturn energy, Saturn is all about karma. It's about time, timing, destiny, events, responsibility. Any of that ringing a bell for you? Right? Ties into everything that you've just experienced. And it's also about a lot of change. Now, here's the thing. It's also asking that we break old patterns and habits, right? And because of Saturn's nature as a taskmaster, it wants order, it wants structure, it wants everything in its proper timing, place, shape, you name it, whatever. It's the point of no return energy. That's Saturn. Point of no return. Okay. Now, that can mean a lot of different things. And from one perspective, point of no return can mean like, I've just awakened to the awareness that I'm not as happy here as I thought I was at one time, but I'm much happier in South Carolina, but I didn't realize that because I was talking myself into being more happy and comfortable in North Carolina because I thought I should be there, right? Well, you're at a point of no return because now that awareness is so strong within you that you can't unknow it anymore. No one could dig a hole, bury you in it, and you won't know that. That's how you truly feel, right?
Yeah, sometimes you can't experience it by just a day trip.
You can't. And I know from my conversations with you that you were certain that North Carolina was the place for you to be. You were very, very certain, and there were certain synchronicities showing up for you saying that this is the place for you to be.
It's
Okay.
funny since I had that last shift though, it's seem different.
Yeah, because Saturn came into the picture. Saturn put the hammer down, right? Saturn is like is do or die energy, wants you to figure this out, right? Figure this out. You've been playing too long. You got to figure it out. Now, here's the thing. You can either, and again, I'm going to go back to the gravity chairs that I would have liked sooner than later, but I didn't throw that resistance into the field, so they showed up sooner.
Sooner.
You can put into the field your frustration, anger, dismay, lack, right? All of that. You can put that out there into the field. You can make this a true hardship for yourself. You can make it a bigger hardship than it needs to be. And you can go from the idea that you can see potentially what can be created now that you have this newfound awareness, newfound empowerment, right? This empowered thinking, right? This empowered consciousness that says, oh, I finally feel what it's like to be conscious because I wasn't operating from a place of consciousness. So I had no idea that I really preferred South Carolina. But now that I'm operating from a clear place of consciousness, I know the difference.
Yeah, that's why I took a break with Scott the other day and I said, that's it, we need a break. We went to Birkdale and we just
Yeah.
relaxed, walked around.
Yeah. So you can look at this one of two ways. You can look at this with anger and frustration that it happened now, that your consciousness has activated now, and that you're in this shitty situation. And it couldn't have activated before I did the before I left, before I moved, right? I couldn't do that before. Or you could be like, okay, I get it. I'm going to pay attention because now I know what it feels like to be conscious. And I am going to sharpen that creator aspect within myself. And I'm going to use it on everything in my reality. I'm going to use it for every situation that presents, every moment. And, you know, maybe I'm moving based on things that are no longer aligned with me. Maybe I'm moving based on things that I would not choose if I did not have to choose them. So maybe what this means is that I have to start looking at life from a different perspective, from a completely different place within myself. And I have to start honoring that place within myself and recognizing that not everybody gets to come with me anymore. Not everybody gets to play in my world anymore. Maybe family has to go. Maybe you have to let family members have their own experience that they create for themselves instead of trying to rush in and alleviate something or save somebody. Okay. And so maybe you need to be looking at this from a different perspective and you need to say to yourself, well, you know, I don't really love my job and I moved here. Staying with this job, jumping through hoops for this job, and I actually hate it because I still have to work two jobs. But if I could get a job that I only had to work one job, life would be better for me. But I haven't applied myself in that way yet. Do you see? Because you're still having that blanket wrapped around you in your comfort zone.
Beaches is always there to fall back on, like a blanket or a safety net.
So if I were you, I would start
Until the universe pulls it
realizing
out from under you.
the universe just pulls it out, doesn't it? doesn't want us in the old patterns, the old habits. What I will say too that is going to benefit you is this time right now is so important to all of us on the planet, right? All of us, it's so important because what we're seeding in right now is going to set the stage for the next 30 years. It's going to set the stage for the next 30 years and give us unsurmountable opportunities because Saturn likes to reward those that do the work. And the one thing about Saturn being in the sign of Aries is that when it goes into a sign that's fire, like Aries is fire, and it wants to do everything fast. We've talked about this before. It wants to shoot first and ask the questions later, right? That's we can't question a dead man. So Saturn is like, okay, hold on, Aries. We have to just go slow here. You can't shoot him first. We have to ask the questions. Let's get the particulars. Let's set up some goals. Let's figure this out. Let's chart this out how we could do this better. And Aries is very impatient. So what this is meaning for all of us is that we have to start to balance that crazy desire that wants it now, right? The want monster wants it now. And the idea of, okay, I'm in this precarious situation. Let me figure out how this is going to work. Okay. It's kind of like when I first got here with Bella. Okay. And I first got here, and then there was all this talk. One of Joe's friends came over, and it was all this talk about, the coyotes in the area and how I shouldn't let her out and I should keep her in every day, all day. She should become an indoor cat because, the hawks might get her, the eagle, and I've seen eagles, the eagles might get her, the coyote might get her. And I was just like, oh my God, that's so much pressure. Why did I come here? Too much. Because and then I woke myself up. Hello, is anybody in there? Is anybody there? And thought to myself, why would I want to create that? Right? Now, certainly, if Bella has an encounter with a snake and it's a boa constrictor or anything else, and it takes her out and she transitions, that was her interaction with it. To make better, different choices. I yell at her all the time, don't lay out openly exposed on the driveway because you're openly exposed to something swooping in and grabbing you and taking you away, right? Birds, these big birds of prey take little tiny dogs. They could take her, she's 10 pounds, right? Or probably not because she's a feisty one, right? But at the end of the day, somewhere in the soul contract, when she first came to live with me, she had to know she was coming here as part of the soul contract. So my way of looking at it is like, well, what's going to be is going to be. It's kind of like Sunny. I saved Sunny, but her soul contract was like, I'm sorry, but I gotta go because it's in my soul contract that I have to exit the earth in this kind of way. And although I'm not going to be okay with it, I have to find a way to be okay with it. So I cried for several days, got it out of my system. And then after I cleared the emotional energy from the attachment to what was, wow, it was like more conscious awakening, more conscious expansion, right? So have the cry. Have the cry, beat your pillow, be mad, be frustrated, be angry, be whatever, and just be like, now I know. Now I know that this doesn't feel like home anymore because, I've made a home for myself. Now imagine that you did that. Right? So this is how I would work with that energy. Okay.
But I also know to be open to stuff because, like you said, I could shift again and you could be some other place that calls to me. So I try to be open also.
You know, I was having this conversation today. I was looking at, properties in the neighborhood here and houses, just taking an idea of what was in. And, houses that I liked were only on like what I left behind in New York, a postage stamp property. And I like here. I don't want to see my neighbors, right?
Right.
I don't want them on top of me. I don't want to see them. The only one I'd like to see is the horse lady. That's
There
diagonal
you go.
from me. And that's going to happen because the last couple of days I've been thinking about it. The horse has been by the fence, and every time I'm outside, they come to the fence. And I mean, it's still across the street. It's not like they're next to me. Like I can't communicate with them, But I thought, I would really like to know who the person is that has that house there, and maybe, I don't know, maybe strike up a friendship. I don't have anybody that I know around here, but it would be nice to know who they are and like how they came with the horses and how the horses are doing and if they have any problems with sand colic, because I hear that from a lot of people around here. And so I thought about that. And today when I was going to the garbage up front, taking the garbage bag out, all of a sudden she comes driving up the road on her tractor, mowing her lawn on the other side of the property across the street from me. And she looks up. Normally, I see her out there. She doesn't interact with anybody, but she looks up and she smiles and she waves. I wave back. I was like, "Hello, horse lady." Yes. Well, I'm going to get to say hello to you and actually have a conversation with you, but not while you're on your tractor. Yes. So I'm calling it into the reality, right? But if I'm not putting that intention out there in a very heartfelt in a very expressed way that, I'd like to know who she is. I don't have to be her best friend, but I'd like to know what the deal is and what the story is and how she's managing the horses and, what I need to know just in case I'd like to get a horse. And then at the same time, I was looking at properties around here going like, okay, there is no property right now. This is, if I had to live somewhere, yeah, I'd want to live here because there is no other property out there that has anywhere close to what I would want. So I guess here is where I am, right? And so that was a big realization. And then I thought to myself, can I own a home somewhere at this point in my life? I haven't owned a house in, I don't know, since the 90s. I haven't owned a house, and I didn't own the house with Pete. He owned the house and I was just living there. And I thought to myself, I don't know, is that going to be a thing? Am I going to stay in Florida? Am I going to move to another state? Or will I get a Winnebago and travel the country?
Travel in.
I don't know. I don't know. And it was this real moment, right? So what I'm trying to show you is that the sky's the limit and the world is our oyster. Everything is opening to us in a very,
Maybe we'll have a caravan of them since, we have sessions I've talked about doing the same thing. We're
we
just
might
traveling
have
together.
one. I mean, Loretta is in on that too, and I know a couple of people from the community are interested in that. So, finding a park and then, parking there, whatever. And I think to myself, yeah, Bella would get used to it. She'd figure it out. I'd figure it out, But I mean, no limitations, right? And that's what this energy is about. So this is where you are now. This is what you have to look at. And even if you don't know if you're supposed to go back to South Carolina, maybe this is really triggering you to think about what do I want? I keep doing what everybody else wants. I keep doing what everybody else needs, but what is it that I want? So work with that. All right. And
Yeah,
like
that's why I made sure I was in class so I could talk to you.
journal about it, really pay attention. And if you haven't listened to the previous classes, listen, because they all build on each other in a very strong way. So
And
listen
I've
to
been having the ascension symptoms, like feel like I'm drained and
The upgrades are very strong right now. The last 3 days I had a huge throbbing third eye headache. My heartbeat was in my head as we're
I've had
going
no energy.
expansion. Yep, no energy. It's all part of what we're experiencing. All right. So work with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, so this energy is very, very important, right? There's no how-to on this. It's like we're coming into this dynamic of Aries boldness meets Saturn's discipline. It wants the unruly child to get disciplined, get in order, set goals, do all of this stuff, right? And it's important to have this awareness. It's important to have this information, right? Because we have to know how to navigate these energies. We have to know how to network all of this. And it's important to stay so clear and to stay in such neutrality that we're not aligning with any one thing so that we can be clear to receive, to be a receiver of whatever it is that we're needing to be a receiver of, right? We're not creating catastrophe. We're not creating disorder. We're not creating disharmony. We're not creating all of these things, right? We're creating from that place within us on a much higher level, okay? Very, very important. So we're being encouraged right now to challenge ourselves with new initiatives and new responsibilities, right? So, like what Lisa was saying, she's in a place where I don't know if I could be happy. I feel like, I can't do what I need to do. Well, at the same time, I'm looking for that part-time job that I think I should be having. I'm also going to be looking for a full-time job because maybe there's an opportunity for me to make the money that I make from both jobs at just one job. And you know what? There is that possibility because we're the creator of the reality. But if we're not conscious in how we're creating the reality, we're leaving it willy-nilly to the subject to the chaotic energies that are all around us and subject to the collective consciousness. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want the collective consciousness navigating my realities for me. I want to be the driver of my bus. Okay. So it's really important to have that awareness and have that understanding so that we're consistently co-creating in higher ways with the reality with everything that presents. All right. Aries is fast moving. Saturn is slow. It's more diligent. It's more goal oriented. When you feel yourself getting pulled fast away ahead of where you really need to be, pull yourself back and go, oh yeah, there's that Aries energy just wanting me to go, go, go. I feel like I need to do it now. I feel like if I don't do it now, I'm not going to get it. If I don't do it now, I'm going to lose out. If I don't do it now, that's all Aries. And every one of us has Aries somewhere in our chart. Somewhere in your astrological chart, you have Aries, even if you're not an Aries. Okay. For me, it's my home sector. Guess what I'm going to be working on? I'm going to be working on my home environment. And how I live and creating harmony within that, right? In many different ways, not just one way, but in many different ways, because Aries rules my fourth house, and fourth house is home. Okay. So Saturn is in the home for me, wanting me to set myself up with goals. Look at how I'm living. Look at, I bought herbs so that I can make a little herb garden, nothing fancy. I planted plants out front, spicing it up a little bit here, making it look cute, right? Getting rid of things that I don't need to have around the house. What are you feeling inclined to do? What are you feeling like you need to do? But you have to remember, slow and steady, we're not going to be in a race to see how quickly we can get done because that's Aries. And we don't want to operate from strictly the Aries perspective. Now, that's not to say that some kind of something, an offer, an opportunity, a person, a place, a thing will come into your life very fast. That's Aries coming in like a sprinter running in. But then you're going to need to be like, hang on a second. Let me put on my Saturn cap and let me think about this through the idea of responsibility and see what I need to do in order to bring this into its highest level. Okay. Saturn doesn't like to take risks. It's not a risk taker. It needs to know all the facts. It's like when I was moving here, Joe didn't have 5G. And I was like, oh, I can't take a risk at not being able to run the class. I can't take a risk at not being able to do my client sessions. I wasn't willing to take a risk. And then finally, the energies caught up, and Joe ended up getting 5G. And I'm like, perfect. Here I am. I'm able to now be in this place where I can set myself up to thrive, right? And Arlene is reminding us not everything requires your attention and not everything is an opportunity. We need to have discernment. Absolutely, which is why we can't be in the Aries energy because we'll be in go mode and not taking a step back to think, right? So, like Lisa's saying, I'm not sure if the area that I'm in, if being in North Carolina is my place. Well, that's because, Aries might have been activating a little too much Aryan energy, and there wasn't enough pullback on that to say, okay, let's just sit this out and think about this. Is this really what I want to do? Okay. It's really important to make the changes within you that you have to make, right? Sometimes it doesn't require making a change, a physical change, you making a physical change. Sometimes it requires you sitting back, consciously making the changes within yourself that there can be a physical change in your field by somebody else, and it's not you making the change, right? One of our community members did a lot of work with me because they shifted jobs thinking that the job they were going to was going to be a better fit for them, was going to be better aligned. And then when they got there, they found out that it was a very toxic environment because of two employees. The first one was there, and then the second one got hired in after they got hired in. And it became a very, very toxic environment. And this individual said to me, I want to leave. And I said, you can't. This will follow you into every job you go to because you have to shift. You have to become your creator of your reality, right? You have to learn to co-create that reality. And so earlier today, I received a message from them saying that the first person that was there when they got there left the department and is no longer there. And the second person, who was an even bigger troublemaker that was making trouble for everybody, and there was no peace and no harmony, now that person finally got their notice that they're going to be leaving. And both of these people have been let go from the department to transition on. And I'm so happy to hear that because that means that they did the work. They did the work. They did the hard work that they anchored into. I don't know if they want to come on and share about this, but they did the work. They anchored into it. And it wasn't easy. It was a challenge, but that's what we're here to do. We're here to challenge ourselves, right? Because if we're not in charge of our reality, somebody else or something else is going to be. That's just how it works. If we're not paying attention to how we're creating, something else is creating for us, right? If I was in my head the minute I saw the snake, who knows? That snake might not have been the snake I actually encountered. It might have. The reality might have changed it into some kind of poisonous snake or a boa constrictor or something like that. But it didn't because I was in control of my reality. I was in control of my thoughts. I know that I want Bella to go out there and be comfortable and be safe. I don't want her going out there and being prey to some predator. So my intention, every time I let her out that door, every time I open that door for her to leave the house, my intention is for her to go out there in the highest timeline that I am co-creating with her. And I tell her, remember, pay attention. Know your surroundings because you don't know your surroundings. This is all new territory. So we have to be that creator. Otherwise, it's going to get created for us and we're not going to like the reality. And with Saturn energy, like what was experienced in this scenario that I just explained to you with the coworkers, if we run from it and we try to go somewhere else or work somewhere else, it's going to follow us because it's not about the job. It's not about the coworkers. It's about us. It's about what we're creating, you know, and most of the time when we're in a toxic situation like that, it's innately a fear of being judged. And then that judgment plays out through everybody. Right. And then the worst of the worst will come in because we need to handle the reality. So we can't run from it. We have to learn to create, to do a better job creating in it, to do a better job creating through it. Okay. That's Saturn energy. Liz?
Okay, I had one of the hardest weekends of my entire life. My grandson graduated college in Rhode Island, and my ex and his wife was there, and I was the black sheep. We were at a table of six with them, and I was the outcast. I was not included in conversations, and she was flaunting how she's got a Maserati and a Rolex and a Marriott timeshare and it just diamonds. And she was just flaunting how she's taking all his money. And I sat there, and when we paid for we all gave money. He took his credit card out to pay for him and her and my grandson. She took everybody's cash and put it in her pocket and paid with the credit card. And he's like, "You're stealing my money." But there were times where I thought, "Okay, I can't do this. I can't do this." And I survived the weekend. I feel like I came out with honors. I was very hard to go to sleep. I was smeared a lot of stuff in my face. But I survived and I got through it. And it's through the power of all this learning.
Well,
And just like you said.
yeah, I'm glad to hear that you are on top from that. Next time, you won't go to an event he's at with the predetermination that it's going to be difficult or challenging. Right? So there was some apprehension.
Yet there were some, but I thought it would be okay. See, I'm invisible to him. He doesn't think I ever existed. I could think it's from guilt. I don't even know if he knows I'm the mother of his daughters. But in any event, it was okay. It was for my grandson.
Okay.
And I was just so happy to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Alcoholics, really bad. I mean, they just pound them everywhere. And I'm like, how sad.
Right. So let's tell a different story because you are telling the story from, I don't know, how long do we know each other? 15 years, maybe more, right? You're telling the story from 15 years ago. So instead of saying that he doesn't even know you exist, you're transparent or invisible or whatever. How about telling a different story? What kind of a story could you tell about him now that would bring this into the next highest timeline?
Oh, that would need some thinking.
Yeah, how about the story that, vibrationally, he was most likely never a match for you? And you just accepted the terms back then because you didn't realize that that was a thing, right? So you see, when I went to this event and I saw my ex-husband and his wife, it validated to me that he could never ever be a fit in my reality because he shows me consistently what 3D looks like. And I have no desire to participate in that as a reality. We don't have to say that he views you as invisible or anything, because at the end of the day, who is it not about? It's not about him. But in your words, if you listen back to the replay of this, you make it all about him and you make it all about her. Now going forward, make it about you. Make it about what you're not willing to accept, right? So you stood tall. You were the bigger person, okay? And he couldn't impact you. She couldn't impact you. She couldn't make you feel small because you saw at the end of the day how deeply rooted in 3D dysfunction they are and have come away with a greater awareness than ever before that he does not offer you anything that could make you want to connect with him in your reality
Absolutely.
because he's not a vibrational match, and you end it with, he's not a vibrational match for me.
Absolutely. And the point where I would sit there and I would look at them and I would smile inside and say, thank you. I love my life. I'm not with you. And to deal with this alcoholic situation. And I'm like, I love my life.
Yeah,
And I'm
so
free.
yep. So focus on that. Always the takeaway from the highest expression of ourselves. Not making it about what he's not acknowledging or what he can't. They can't. And from the perspective of what he's here to offer you, he's simply here to show you if you were still with him, you would not be doing your ascension work. You would
Correct.
be as miserable as you were when you first started coming to me because you are in the throes of that low
In
vibrational
prison.
dysfunctional frequency.
That's what I called it. I was in prison.
Yeah.
I could not be me.
Yeah. So always come from the higher perspective of, what this coming together is offering you. It's offering you an opportunity to see the greatness that you are and how, that could never be at this particular point in time because the separation of the fields is so great. Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good job. Good job.
Yes. Thank you.
Very good. Yeah. All right, where are we? Okay. All right. So Saturn pulls us to our destiny, right? We said it's the planet of karma, time, timing, destiny, events. When fated events happen, it's Saturn that's creating those fated events, right? So this is a really important time because if there's a restructure on our path, we must know that that's our destiny calling us. All right? So try to be open to what is coming up, to what is presenting in your reality, because a lot of faded moments are gonna happen now, right? Not faded as in fading out, but faded moments. Okay, I want to be clear about that. And intuition is going to be heightened. Intuition is going to start to flourish off the charts. That's why we have the headaches, the heart pounding in the head is the all consciousness expanding, right? You're going to find yourself letting go of the need for validation from others. And, I'm going to say, even with regard to mentors. Okay. So anybody that you looked at as a mentor, you're going to find yourself not needing that validation anymore. That happened to me many years ago, probably like 2014. But start to notice that. All right. At the more you ascend, the more you come into your higher states of consciousness, the more that'll become your truth as you recognize and have self-awareness. All right. Saturn's also going to point out your limits. And when it does that, don't get frustrated because at the same time, it might ask you to make a course correction so that you are shifting paths. Okay, it's very important to be aware and be present for that. It brings us into deeper self-awareness. It's more focused, the energy is more focused towards self-healing. And this is where good spiritual hygiene is going to be necessary because we want to make sure that we're not having people in our field or we're not going to places or doing things that is not going to be uplifting to us. That's not going to bring us into higher states of consciousness. Right? We want to make sure whatever we're engaging in is going to be fulfilling to us as opposed to bringing us down. So it's very important to remember that. Okay. And again, with self-healing, we have to start looking at self-healing from the perspective of actually healing the self instead of seeking out someone else to do the healing for us. In every case of healing, I was talking to Arlene about this earlier. In every case of healing, the recipient of the healing has to desire to have a healing. Otherwise, there's not going to be a healing, right? Because it's up to the recipient to want to have a healing. So if somebody's doing lasagna, if somebody's doing, sorry. So if somebody's doing a healing on you, he's scratching the carpet because he's feeling lonely and left out. So if somebody is doing the healing on you, you have to want the healing. You have to desire the healing. Otherwise, the healing is not going to happen, right? In the past, I've had many, many instances. I mean, I can remember going back to, this one time in my office. I had my mentor, who was a shaman, in teaching healing work. She would fly in from Phoenix, Arizona, to teach the group of us that were communing in my office space. And her friend lived on Long Island, and her friend came to me for a healing, for just regular Reiki, but I pulled a plasma blob out of her body. Like it was very viscous and just transmuted the distortion of it. And she had got off the table and she's like, that was amazing. I feel so different. I don't have any of the pain and the pressure in my pelvic area that I had. She said, I have an appointment with my gynecologist tonight after the session because I have a really bad urinary infection. And I was like, oh, I said, oh, I'm glad, this was able to help you. And she's like, yeah, she said, her shaman friend had worked on her a number of times, but it didn't help. Sometimes you can't work on friends. Sometimes friends can't work on friends because it doesn't work. And it doesn't, there's something that gets limited. There's something that gets lost in the exchange of the healing. And so the next day she sent me a message and said, I went to I went to my gynecologist and the infection's completely gone. Whatever you did, I had a healing. And so, that night she had a spontaneous healing. But then I've had other clients that I knew had a spontaneous healing, and the healing didn't stick because they were too attached to the victimhood, right? So it's all what you're wanting to play in. So it's very important if you're looking for healing, you have to be in a place of desire to have the healing, because nobody can heal us if we're not wanting healing. And that also aligns us with self-empowerment, greater self-empowerment, okay? So this energy that's coming in is going to open us up, open our hearts up to greater compassion for not only ourself, but compassion for others. And as you could hear what Liz was saying about her ex, she found compassion because she's recognized that her life is so much greater right now that there's nothing that could have made her want to go back and be with this person, right? And having great compassion for where they are in their journey and who they are and what they're bringing to the table for us. Like the scorpion, the snake, the palmetto bug, the raccoon that took Sunny out of the physical. All these things, right? We have to offer gratitude and we have to offer compassion because they all play a really big part in our reality, especially that we're creating this reality. All right. Health becomes the priority. We have to pay attention. And because Aries, the sign of Aries, has to do with the head, if you remember, we're going into Aquarian age, right? We're going into the age of Aquarius, and Aquarius is all the mind. So it's really appropriate for Saturn and Neptune to be in Aries. It's going to ask us, what are you looking at? What direction is your focus? In other words, right? Where is your focus? And what is it that you're letting in to your reality? Are you aware of what you're letting in? Are you aware of what you're focused on? It's like me with the art supplies, right? Once I did that and came to that awareness, it stopped. I haven't looked at art supplies since. I've been doing art more. We have to be conscious and be able to process what is happening in our reality. We want to ask ourselves, am I interacting with things that are beautiful, that are loving, that are kind, that are compassionate? Or am I interacting with judgment and things that are harsh and difficult and challenging? We have to make that decision, right? Or on another level, are we seeking escapism? Are we doing something to make us forget our problems or our scenario, our situation, right? Saturn requires that we take the lead. Saturn doesn't want to be left behind. It doesn't like to, have any shortcomings, right? It doesn't like to be the fall guy. It wants to take the lead. It wants to have the goals mapped out. It wants everything to be in harmony. It wants us to take a leap of faith and confront anything that is coming up that's old, that's being carried forward, right? Take that leap of faith and confront whatever is getting in the way, the old beliefs, the patterns, the habits, right? I was looking at art supplies instead of doing art. I had to get real with myself and be like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? What's going on? And I had a reality check. I gave myself a reality check. Reality checks are required. We need to tune in and see what is happening with me, right? And not leave it suspect, because if we're not paying attention to what's taking place, we're going to get hit upside the head and be blindsided by something we do not want. Okay. So on June 9th, we have the planet of Jupiter. Jupiter is like the wealthy uncle. It likes to bestow gifts and treasures on us, to us. We have it going into Cancer, and it's happy in the sign of Cancer. It finds its greatest joy there. And so it's the first time in 12 years that it's in the sign of Cancer. So if you look back 12 years ago when Jupiter was in Cancer, that would have been 2013, 2014. You can look back and see what happened in your life that, either you're going to heal through now, this time around, or be in a better placement to be a receiver of Jupiter in Cancer in its fullness. And if I look back at 2013 and 2014, Pete and I were talking divorce. And then in November of 2013, we filed divorce, right? We came back from a trip to Mexico in, I think it was February, the end of February. By March, I realized the relationship was over, the marriage was done, and then it took until November to file the paperwork. We did it amicably. Everything reverted back to him because the house was his, and whatever I came in with was furniture and belongings and stuff like that, most of it, which I had given away before I moved in by him. So I look back and I'm like, yep, not going to happen that way again now. And so think about the situation now. Yes, I'm in a living situation again with a male, except I'm not married to him. I'm not dating him. We are in harmony and support of each other. There is a co-sharing, in the greatest sense. It is, truly whole in its essence and allows me to be more of me. He can be more of him. And we come together and co-create for the highest in all ways, supporting each other in a very loving and compassionate way. And there's honor and respect. Very different than what I was leaving back in 2013, 2014, right? So go back, look at that time for yourself and see what was going on with you. It's going to be very loving, healing energy for the next year. Okay, we'll be going to be getting a year of support from the universe that's going to help us make realities happen in the way that we desire them to happen. But we have to be a conscious co-creator so that we're not creating from a place of lack. Lack will only get you more lack. Okay. On May 26th, we have a new moon in Gemini. Gemini again is the mind, excuse me. It's an air sign. It's the twins. Can be very analytical. This is bringing in new energy, supporting you in what you desire to have in your life or what you desire to bring in your life. One thing to remember, because Gemini is about communication and it's about the mind, thoughts will be very important as they are very powerful. And thoughts lead to words, and words create reality. So It's very important to remind yourself often that our voice matters and how we communicate is key. It's very important because, as you can see, all of these energies are tying in together, supporting this incredible transformation that we're about to undergo. And if you're really present for yourself, you're going to notice these energies already starting to work on your behalf in the way that you either want them to, or in the way that you're not paying attention, right? So if you're not having a great experience, it's because you need to be more present, pay more attention to what's taking place. Give your body what it needs to be sustainable. Give your reality what it needs to be more comfortable, to be more practical in nature, so that you can have a better experience. Okay. We're in a supercharged time. Supercharged. This is really all, excuse me, although we don't get into government and politics and all that, this is where you're going to see a lot of change happening. You're going to start to see a lot of things coming out within the government, a lot of shifts happening, a lot more darkness being brought to light. People you thought were for the good of all coming to the surface, presenting, showing themselves not to be good, right? And change happening. And new pathways happening. Money, excuse me, money is going to economics, money, financials. You're going to start to see changes. You're going to start to see everything start to lighten up, right? Financially, it's going to feel a lot lighter. It's going to get better, okay? And some things might look like, oh God, I thought that was going to happen. It's not happening. This, that. Don't pay attention to any of it, right? Don't opt into any of it. Don't pay attention to any of it, because it's all the illusion of the 3D that is still imploding. It's still crumbling. It's still chaotic. When you pull yourself out of it and you're not paying attention to it, it has no factor on you whatsoever. Okay. The only thing you're going to notice is, like, yeah, the prices of gas might still be a little higher. The food prices might still be a little higher, but all of a sudden, you're going to see that shift in a monumental way. So don't pay attention to it, but you'll hear the collapse of it. You'll get that information coming your way. Just be like, okay, I knew that was going to happen, right? And let it all play out the way it needs to play out, because everything is in its perfection. Everything, even if it doesn't look like it is, it's all in its perfection. Okay. We just need to let it work through in the way it needs to work through, and recognize that we're in groundbreaking times. We're in energies that, it's like Star Trek. We're voyaging where no man has gone before, or at least in 186 years. Nobody. So I don't know anybody that's 186 years or older, right? I don't think you do either. So there's really nobody to ask. There's no documented records, really, to really understand and how all of the planets are going to play with each other, because this is just the beginning. We also have the planet Uranus, which is, about unexpected everything, the great awakener, going into the sign of Taurus. And it's going to do that for a short period of time, not an extensive period of time, but it's going to do it with great purpose. And it's another key player because it's an outer planet and it's for the good of humanity, right? As we are creating a new reality, a new a new paradigm within humanity. And people are starting to see beyond the illusion, beyond the veils of what they couldn't see before. And everything is going to find its proper place. Not everybody will feel happy, not everybody. And that's okay too, because not everybody here is here for the ascension. Some people are still going to play the role for us to see where the marker is for 3D, and that's fine, right? And but for us, we want to make sure that we're the ones that are in the know. We're the ones that are pioneering, that we're, and we know these words, we've thrown them around for the last 5 years, right? We're holding the highest integrity for truth and honesty and committed to being our best version. We are being our most authentic self. Most of us don't even know what the hell that means, right? Most of us don't know what it means to be our most authentic self. We've been so heavily influenced, it's a better word than programmed, but it is programming. But we've been heavily influenced by, our parents, our friends, our coworkers, the government, television shows, commercials, the products that we use, the influencers on social media. I mean, there's so much, right? School, college, everything, work, everything has been an influence. But if we had to strip that all down and be left with something at the end of the day, would you recognize that something that was you? Would you recognize that? I don't know, because we're really going through this to find out who we truly are at the deepest level. Okay. And so the last thing I want to say here is that some of us have been having these moments of awareness as timeline bleeds happening, where for seconds at a time, you're perceiving yourself in another reality. Now, you might not be seeing that reality because it's not yet that that level of ex you know of accessibility, I guess you could say. But feeling it, feeling like you're somewhere else, feeling like you're someone else, in a flash, you'll feel it, and then suddenly it's like you have this awareness that you're feeling like you're actually someone else, and then all of a sudden it integrates and you come back to feeling like you again. I know some of you are having this in dream state. It can feel very disconcerting. Arlene and I were talking about this as she was having this experience in her dreams, where she was having a conversation. There was more the lucid part of herself where she says, "No, I never had a desire to do this." And the other person in her dream says, "Yes, you did. This is where you lived. You've lived here before." That type of thing, right? I have a friend in Minnesota, and last year she was telling me about a dream that she was having that was reoccurring, where in her dream she was married to this other guy, other than the husband she's with in reality. And every time she would dream about this marriage that she would be in, and the guy would come to her in the dream as her husband, she would say, "You're not my husband. My husband's name is this." And he would say, "Honey, you're having one of those moments again. You're having a bout of amnesia. This is so hard for me to deal with. I don't know why this happens or what triggers you. And then he would break down sobbing because he's like, "You've been doing this for years. It's almost too much for me to bear." And then she would wake up from the dream and think to herself, "That's crazy. Like, who is this person I'm dreaming about?" And then we would have this conversation. I would tell her, "You're in an alternate timeline. You're in a parallel reality, right? A parallel reality that's real. It's just not here. It's not in this dimensional state, this dimensional frequency that you're in, but it's real. It's out there. And that guy is real. And you're his wife in that reality. And you're blipping in and replacing his wife. And he thinks you're having amnesia when you're actually remembering you're having lucidity, right? You're lucid dreaming, having a great awareness of who you are and who you are not in that timeline, in that reality, right? So we're at this time where we're going to be experiencing a lot of different, a lot of different things. I mean, last week again we had two X flares, two major. We had one of the biggest ones we've had in a while, an X2.7. The sun is doing all kinds of crazy things. A coronal hole opened on it that's not quite earth facing. It's slightly off earth facing, and thank goodness for us, because I don't know, we'd all be knocked out unconscious, because the coronal hole actually expanded. And if you've ever seen a picture of the sun and the earth, you have the sun, and then you have like this little tiny speck that's the earth. And think about the, so you have the sun, and then you have this little tiny speck that's the earth, and then you have this coronal hole that's open, right? And when you're looking at that and you're looking in context of like, holy cow, that the sun is a bazillion times bigger than the earth, and the coronal hole on the sun is a half bazillion times bigger than the earth. It's like, no wonder I have a headache, right? Like, no wonder I can't stay awake. No wonder I'm so sleepy. And it's not even earth facing, you guys. It's not even facing the earth, right? It's facing away from the earth. It's not even hitting us direct, but yet it's impacting us in a big way. Okay. So when you feel wonky, this is why you feel wonky. All right. And you have to make time for sleep. You have to make time to integrate the codes. You have to make the time. Okay. Tamara's saying she had a similar situation where her mom was her sister in a different place that she's never been. Yeah, we're going to have these types of dreams. Sue says it sounds like me being in the house and the light to the upstairs kept turning on by itself. It felt odd. And then my guide said to me in a slightly different timeline, "I'm going to ask to be on my highest timeline here in this house. I know I turned the light off last time and heard it turn back on. And then I heard a bump on upstairs." Yeah, that's all us flashing in and out of timelines. That's what it is. It's all us. We're flashing in and out of timelines. It's like, back in 2013, when I was working with one of my mentors, Lisa, she was talking about a time where she had this awareness moment of a glass that was broken on the floor next to her. And she was like, "I had no awareness of having the glass in my hand, dropping the glass on the floor." But yet she's like, "I heard a glass break. I looked down and there's a glass next to me." And then, she would talk about like, not being able to find her scissors or something that was relatively important. And it was because in one timeline, you put it in one place, and another timeline, It's in another place. It's just how we're operating. We're blipping back and forth, which we have to, really focus to be present, right? We have to be focused to be present so that we're not, shifting timelines so quickly. We don't want to do that too fast, right? So we have to make more presence. Or if we're hearing it and we have an awareness of it, we laugh and know that that was a version of us in another timeline that turned the light on and left it on, right? We could have left that timeline and come into this timeline. And yeah, so we have to just be conscious, be in the physical, bring yourself in the body, make sure you're doing some breathing, and just be present. Okay. Anybody have anything they want to share or any questions or anything? So I think we're going to wrap it up here if we're good. No? Nobody? All right. So stay present for yourselves. Know that these energies are, consistently increasing. The sun is warbling its magnetic field. So we're going to feel that. The magnetic field of the sun is breaking down. I don't know what that means exactly. It's just another part of the experience that we're all gonna have. And so as these experiences present themselves, we're gonna be here to meet and discuss them. All right. So I wish you guys a wonderful rest of your week. It's funny, I'm wrapping up and Bella's getting out of her basket. She's like, "Oh, we're done? Okay, I'm gonna leave." She's like, I think she's like another consciousness of me. It's quite interesting. I'm noticing connecting with her and having these, these dialogues with her, like I will tell her something, and I'm so certain she understands me at the deepest level. Like, it's the craziest thing. I don't think I've ever had an experience quite like that before, but there's this level of connection with her telepathically that's become super, super interesting in the way that we are communicating together. And as I'm sitting here wrapping it up, I see her head pop up out of the basket that was on the table. And she's like, "Oh, we're done," and climbed out, jumped down, went to the counter to get herself a snack. So, this is what we can expect, right? This is the amazing that we signed up for. It's what we're all here for. So enjoy every minute. I'm going to look to see if I can create the calendar for next month within the next couple of days. And I wish you all a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you for connecting. Know that I love you so very much. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate all of you. And I
Love
will
you.
talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a
Love
great
you.
Memorial weekend, everybody.
Love you.
Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Weekend. Right. Enjoy, guys. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.